You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Wow! Look at this! We need a new building. Or we need an extension, or we need a mezzanine floor, or we need to suspend people from the ceiling or something, or we need to like lower people down on stretchers. I'm not sure, but we need to find more room in God's house. How are you, beautiful people? Oh, I got an amazing view today. You're so wonderful, so precious. Grab your seats on the way down. Give someone an appropriate squeeze. We don't want any restraining orders in the house today. Amen. It's done my heart good to see you all gather together this past weekend. I snuck up to Green Oaks. Yes, I infiltrated Men's Emerge. I went in wearing my girl power shirt. I like to stir the pot. For those of you who know me, I like to stir the pot. And honestly, what I saw was a whole bunch of sweaty, grateful men in their happy place. And I tell you what, they were doing what they were meant to do. And I want to congratulate the great champions of C3 San Diego for redefining what men's ministry looks like. I'm telling you, too many men's conferences look like women's conferences. And that's about to shift. I reckon God wants to do a new thing and empower men to be men. So we just love you and so, so proud of you. And if I could say anything to you today as men, from a woman, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about it and, you know, the world today, I believe, is shaking and trembling under our feet with everything that's going on. And I do truly believe that men are one of the most vilified species on the earth today. And I want to say from the heart of a woman who loves God, loves women and loves men, that we love you. We believe in you. We thank God for you. You are not what other people say you are. You are not what the critics call you. You are blessed. You are a champion. You are an overcomer in Jesus' name. You are more than enough. You have been anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to make a difference in your time and your generation. You've got the goods, men. You've got the goods. And we stand beside you as your champions. We will champion you and cheerlead you on in Jesus' name to be the best you can be. And we call forth the greatness on the inside of you and we declare the best is yet to come for each and every single man in this place. We declare you will rise up and be the man that God has called you to be. You know, the prophet Ezekiel prophesied, he said, so the Lord was searching for a man among them who would stand in the gap and build a wall on behalf of the city. And then it says, but he found no one. But I believe today that the eyes of the Lord are on this city and this group of men. He has found a group of wall builders who will stand for righteousness in this city and this nation and tell evil, you gotta back off. You gotta back off. You cannot pass. We declare this city belongs to the Lord. You're not taking our kids. You're not taking our families. You're not taking our young people. You're not taking our schools. You're not robbing from us anymore. We're going to stand in the gap on behalf of our city. So we thank you for being those kind of men. Amen. Well, we're right in the middle of our Modern Family series. And I thought, you know, because I always do like to grab the dragon by the tail. I've been known for that. So I thought I would talk on discipline as it relates to children. And I guess, too, you could really apply these principles to your own life. But when I look at the world today, I just see a lot of confused people. A lot of confused people. And Jesus said, he said he looked at the crowds and he was moved with compassion for them because they were confused. The Bible says that Jesus said they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And you know what? It's not the fault of the crowds or the multitudes. And quite honestly, if we have a harassed and helpless generation, it's because the church has backed up and lost its voice. See, the government was never meant to dictate how man should live his life. It was always meant to be the church. And see, when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. So you'll find that at C3 San Diego, we're not afraid to talk about the things that matter because people matter, because cities matter, and the church will rise and fall on dependent on the church's ability to have courage or not. So you're going to find we're a courageous church, and we talk about the things that maybe are overlooked in other places. And I certainly don't want you to view this message today through a filter of any condemnation. This morning I'm going to be talking from some victories, but a lot of my own regrets. I have four children. I had my first baby at 19. I was a child having a child. My eldest son, Jordan, is 22. My second son, Ash, is 19. My third son, Tommy, is 15. And my baby girl, Zozo, is 8. Just when you think you can't make girls, bam, there you go. I swore that my husband had no estrogen whatsoever to contribute to the child-making process. And we were done having babies. I'm like, I got 3 boys. I don't want any more boys. But then God hijacked my body. And I became pregnant when Jürgen was 41. It's amazing how quickly you can become pregnant, Pastor Andrew, when you're not using contraception. So, yes. So, just a reminder out there. I don't know how it happened. Oh, I think you do. I think you do. So, 4 babies. You're acting like you're shocked. Why is that shocking? It's going to get a lot worse. Just saying that. Okay, like, please don't be shocked with that. Ah, you're freaking me out here. All right. So we're going to start by reading a scripture, a very famous one. And really, this is the catalyst, the foundation point for my entire message. Go ahead, friends, put up that message from Proverbs. There we go. Train up a child. Somebody train. Somebody say train, sorry. I missed a very important word. Say train. Train up a child in the way he should go, he or she, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's right. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that right now you would speak through me, that this word would be like a finely crafted arrow that hits its mark. Father, not my will, but yours be done today. God, I know there is wisdom that you want to get to us this morning. Father, let it come out. Let it spring forth and let it become change in people's lives. Let it encourage them. Let it challenge them. Let it build them up in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody said, amen, amen, church. So the title of my message this morning is Training Day. Training Day. So I love this particular scripture in the book of Proverbs, because the inference is how we train our children is how they will behave and what they will become when they're adult people in charge of their own lives. And the way I see it is we have a pretty small window. About 18 years, your children get to hang out in the departure lounge of your particular family airport before they fly off on their own adventure. And depending on how we train them in those 18 years is going to be dependent on how they live when we unleash them into society. And you know what? There's a whole lot of wisdom out there. And I feel sorry for parents today because it seems like every man and his dog is writing a blog about parenting. And the advice changes from season to season. But I want to tell you today that God is not wanting us to reach for the wisdom of the world, but for the wisdom of his word. Because his word will not fail, and within the covers of this book is counsel that is timeless. And I want you to know that God is very invested and has a lot to say about how we raise our kids. So I want to just bring to you this morning a couple of points really centering around how we train our children, particularly in the area of discipline. Because it seems to me that there's been a lot of theories and philosophies out there. And we can tend to pendulum swing as a society. So if a particular method is abused, then we throw it away. But I want to kind of bring some wisdom to the forefront. I don't kind of speak really ever in gray. It's black and white. So I want you to forgive me in advance. If I offend you, I'm just going to go ahead and share the word of God today. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord today? Somebody say amen. Okay, point number one. Train your children to respect other people and their property. It's a good one to start on, I think. So the most important thing we can do for our children is not, you know, send them to the best colleges and, you know, train them up to be brain surgeons. Nothing wrong with being a brain surgeon or shape them into being Olympic athletes. The greatest thing that we can do for our children is to teach them to be responsible members who contribute in a positive way to the society that they've been placed in. All that other stuff is an aside. The most important thing you and I are called to shape as our children's parents is their character. So we've got to teach our children to be responsible. And in order to do that, what we have to do is we have to teach them that it's not all about them. So I found just in my life that there is a fine line between cute behavior and annoying behavior. Right? And here's the thing. Sometimes we have such a massive lack of awareness when it comes to our own children. We think everything they do is cute. Oh my gosh, so cute. And everybody else is like rolling their eyes and uninviting you from their Christmas party, so on and so forth. I remember when Pastor Jürgen and I were young parents and our first son, Jordan, I mean, he looked like a little angel. He was so dang cute. And we were at a friend's house one day and he started dancing, like just shaking his booty, so cute, to some music. And then he was watching the looks of, oh, isn't he cute, and watching all the attention he was getting. So he decided to jump on the coffee table on his little stage and started to shake his thing on the coffee table. And I said, oh, Jürgen, should we tell him to get off the coffee table? He shouldn't stand on somebody else's coffee table. That's rude. And Jürgen goes, no, darling, he's so cute. Look how cute he is. Oh, Jordy is so cute. And so we were like cheering him on. And then the host, the person whose house we were at, had to say to us, well, actually, guys, no, we'd prefer if you told Jordan to get off our coffee table. You know, so I want to kind of make the point in our era today that sometimes what we think is cute can be downright annoying in others. And we have a responsibility to raise our children so their social futures aren't ruined. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, discipline your children in Proverbs 19:18 while there is hope. Which leads me to believe that there may come a point in time where there ceases to be hope. Listen to this, it goes on. Otherwise, gotta love the Bible, you will ruin their lives. Completely clear. There can be, you know, no mistaken meanings in this scripture. In other words, if we fail to discipline certain aspects in our children's behavior, then we are actually a party to the ruin or the destruction of their lives. Who would have thought that we could ruin our child's social acceptability in the future because we don't address things that are annoying? If your child screams every time they're out in public when they don't get their way, if they bite other kids, if they scratch other kids, if they trash every environment they're in, if they stand on people's furniture dancing, and you don't address it, then we become complicit to the fact that when they're in the future, they're going to be a little bit lonely. They're not going to have as many friends. You'll find them being exed from parties and exed from events and exed from play dates simply because what we thought was cute was actually annoying. The greatest gift we can give our children is discipline that trains them to be a healthy and joyful member of society. Who would have thought that discipline would set up your child for a socially happy future? A life of inclusion, a life of friendships and parties and play dates and all manner of things, but it's yours and my responsibility. We can't blame the kid. There are no bad kids. There's just kids that have not been trained according to the word of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When you correct socially unacceptable behavior, you teach your children respect. Respect of others and respect of property, which will mean they will live a life full of friendships, joy, and inclusion. Amen. Amen. Point number two, you're still breathing out there. Remember, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, okay? This is not a word meant to condemn today, but a word sent to enlighten and encourage. Point number two, train your children to associate bad behavior with pain. Come on. I know I'm hurting somebody today. What do you mean? Oh my gosh, I think I'm leaving this church. I didn't think women should preach, and now I know why. Oh, it's going to get worse before it gets better, friends. Okay. If there ain't no pain, like the old adage says, there ain't no gain. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever refuses to spank his son hates him. But whoever loves his son disciplines him from early on. Okay, I'm going to do a poll. How many people here hate their kids? Go ahead. One person. That is going to change, my friend. We're going to pray for you. Things are going to shift in Jesus' name. Thank you for your honesty. Maybe a few live streamers lifted their hands out there. Whoever refuses to spank his son hates him, but whoever loves his son disciplines him from early on. There are a couple of points I want to bring out here, and I realize this is a touchy subject. Listen, I posted what I thought was a humorous little meme on Instagram with a picture of a wooden spoon that says that said, to some people, this is a kitchen tool. To others, it's an immediate attitude adjuster. I mean, I'm like you, I thought it was hilarious. I cannot even tell you the trolls that came out with their haterade. Okay. And then my good famous Christian friend, Lisa Bevere, thought she'd go ahead and repost it. Oh, Lord have mercy. It just went to a global level of hatred. People saying things like, oh, you believe in child abuse. I will never trust you again, Lisa Bevere. And she's sending me text messages going, I'm so sorry for pulling you into my crazy Insta world. But it's amazing. See, the world has bought into the lie, just like the Bible says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they think that because something has been abused, we should throw it out. Throw it out. What if we did the same thing with sex, men? Because that's certainly been abused, hasn't it? We don't throw something away because it's been abused. We learn to do it the right way, which is God's way. Now, listen, I know there are a lot of people out here and you have legitimately been the victim of physical abuse in your families. I want to start by saying I'm sorry. I am so sorry that your parents didn't have the self-control or the understanding to do things well. And I want to tell you today that that wasn't okay. But there is a right way. And just because it's been abused and it's been wrongly appropriated does not mean we throw it out altogether. When we look at the world today, we are seeing a largely undisciplined generation. And that has to shift. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Listen, whether it is the pain of spanking or a grounding or confiscation of a favorite item, I realize that it is different strokes for different folks. No pun intended. Listen, my eldest two sons, Jordan and Ash, it was like their butts and their brains were connected. Unless they felt it in their butt, it didn't change in their brain. But then my son Tommy, oh my gosh, he was a little angel. Just a stern word in his direction and he'd fly straight. Oh, sorry, mummy. I think he had like one or two spanks in his entire lifetime. And I realize that there are some children that don't respond to it, but there are many who do and need to be spanked and they're not being. Berklee College, for example. I'd like to spank them all, quite frankly. I think they all need a good spank on the bottom. See, when you see the fruit, of an undisciplined generation, you watch the news and you go, tut, tut, but are you part of the problem? See, I love what the Bible says. It says, discipline your children early on. Listen again, it is up to your parental discretion, but I started spanking my children at 2. And usually, typically, if you're consistent with it, you won't need to do it much past 5. much past school age. I mean, just the rattling of the drawer was enough for them to go, sorry, mummy. We're really friends. We're friends. Come here, brother. I love you. Oh, we're brothers and we're in love. I mean, I would have to carry it around in my bag at the grocery store, and they'd be scrapping, fighting and throwing stuff at each other, and I'd just pull out and go, oh, look, you came shopping. I was like one of those cowboys in the Old West. Come on, punk. I wish I knew more cowboy expressions. It was a lost moment. Listen, here's what Proverbs 23:13 says. Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. Don't parent out of guilt and fear. Here's the proper way to spank. I'm going to break it down a little bit for you. There is a proper time and a proper way to spank. There is a time, a place, and a motive. The time is when you're calm. Not when you're losing your cool. Otherwise, the message gets lost in translation. Mom was just spanking me because she's crazy. Because she's a psycho. Dad, remember when you said she was a psycho? I saw it. She was just spanking me. Or Dad lost his cool. He was angry, so he started spanking me. The most powerful time you can discipline your children is not when you're losing your cool and frustrated, but when you're calm. Access that spirit of self-control in Jesus' name and wait till you're calm. And then nobody says you have to do it right there and then. I mean, listen, I came from the generation where you just slapped your kids when they, like, publicly. There were public floggings in my day. which takes me on to the next point. There is a time, but there's also a place. Privately. Now, I was from the generation, like I said, where you just pull your flip-flop off and slap your kid across the head, keep walking, right? That's why I'm so awesome, okay? I had a healthy fear of my parents, right? But now we've learned it's a little humiliating. So the best way to do it is when you're calm, not when you're frustrated, take them to a private room. Once you've warned them, it's not like one strike, you're out. No, we warn them. If you do that again, then mum or dad is going to spank you. If they don't comply, that's when you bring out the wooden spoon. Two or three moderate to hard slaps on the bottom. The bottom is made for spanking. It's got the perfect amount of nerve endings and no bones. God created it for that. And if you spare the rod, you'll spoil your child, the Bible says. Look, it's Bible. Stop fighting the Bible. You think you're smarter than God? You're not. He knows. He has the perspective. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. So he's standing at the end of your kid's life. And he knows the whole thing. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to write a book in advance. So when they get to this stage, when that kid is four and they're throwing tantrums and they don't know what to do, that they're going to have some instruction from their heavenly Father. Okay? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right. And I had some people say on this particular post that I left, and go ahead and go on and like that and praise me and say how brave I am. But I had some people who said, Jesus wouldn't go around spanking children. And I'm like, he wasn't a dad. He didn't have any kids. Einstein. Took me all of 1 second to unravel that lie. He didn't have any kids. But you know what he did do? Make a whip and drive merchants out of the temple. So he's not the lightweight that you desire him to be. He was actually quite a man of strength who knew how to stand up for righteousness, and he didn't suffer a fool. Please don't mistake Jesus for some limp-wristed person that floated through the fields with a sheep on his back. He knew how to tell people what time it was, if somebody knows what I'm saying here today. So there's a time, a place, and a motive. The motive is not, I'm going to show you. Oh, this is going to hurt you. I won't be able to sit down for a week. The motive is, I need to teach you right from wrong. Because one day, like the scripture says in Proverbs, you're going to depart from my household and you need to associate bad behavior and bad choices with painful consequences. For most kids, their butts and their brains are connected. And God will give you the tools. He has given you the tools to discipline your children carefully, correctly, and lovingly. Listen, after you've had to spank your kids, hug it out. Hug it out. Because listen, God equates discipline with love. You think they're contradictory. Oh, but the Bible says those who don't discipline their children hate their children. But the man who loves his child will discipline him promptly or early on. Hear the word of the Lord today. Don't allow yourself to become confounded by the lies of the world that want to keep your kids in bondage and have them grow up all kinds of dysfunctional and messed up. Hear the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. Oh, but they're so cute. Yes, because they're cute. Discipline them. Oh, but I love them so much. Yes, because you love them. Discipline them in Jesus' name. Point number three, train them to understand they won't always get their way. Now, my mum, actually when my daughter was three, she came over and was here for a vacation. And we were in the car together and my Zoe was sitting in the back in her car seat and she was whining. But it had become like white noise to me. Like I didn't even hear it anymore. And I had gotten into the habit of giving her what she wanted in order to get her to be quiet. Like I would just get so exasperated. I'll be like, oh, fine, I'll get it for you. And my mom said to me, Leanne, I hate to tell you this, but your daughter's a whiner. I got a brave mom right there. And she said to me, every time she whines, you give in. Do you realize how you're training her? You know what? And I had to carefully consider my ways and make some changes. And I'm not going to tell you that it was easy for the first little bit. There was a fair level of manifesting as that child got delivered and became the angel that she is today. But it took some ingenuity and some strength and some grit on the inside of me to change my behavior as a parent to teach her that the answer isn't always going to be yes. Sometimes it's going to be no. And listen, we can't blame the kids. We have to blame the trainers. So again, when we look at a whole lot of college students today who have been thrust into the center stage because of their tantrums, not my president. Guess what? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. For the next 4 years, possibly eight, he is your president. And no amount of protesting and throwing trash cans through Starbucks windows is going to change that. Sometimes things aren't going to go the way you want them to, but we need to train children that they can still behave rightly even when they get something that they don't want. Can somebody say amen? We had Daryl Strawberry, the famous baseballer in our church many years ago, and he said something so powerful. He said, the reason my life got into the mess it got into was because there was no one in my world that ever told me no. If I wanted drugs, I got drugs. If I wanted girls, I got girls. If I wanted booze, I got booze. Whatever I wanted, it was given to me. And he said, that was the reason my life got train wrecked. Who would have thought that one of the greatest gifts we could give our kids was the word no? Teach them that things are not always going to go their way. Pastor Jürgen and I were in the toy store about a week or so ago with our daughter Zoe. She'd saved up some money. She wanted to buy some toys. And we passed by one rack and it had the strawberry shortcake doll. And I remember them from my childhood. And I said to Jürgen, oh my gosh, I would have given my right arm for a strawberry shortcake doll. You know, the little doll that smells like strawberries? And there's blueberry muffin and she smells like blueberries. And there's lemon meringue and she smells like lemons. And I remember like coveting and seeing all the spoiled kids in my school coming with their collection of strawberry shortcake dolls and wanting one so bad. And Jürgen said to me, oh babe, I'm so sorry. You didn't get a strawberry shortcake doll. And I'm like, don't feel sorry for me. That's why I'm a balanced human. Because my parents told me no. Listen, remember the Cabbage Patch Kids rage? okay, again, like I had to save my own money. I could never get there, right, on 25 cents a week or whatever child labor that I was being paid in Australia. And so I had to buy it. So mum and dad said, you can get one. You got to buy it for yourself. So I ended up with a Radish Patch kid. Oh, but I loved her. I loved her like she was real. And all my friends had the Cabbage Patch and it had the signature of the creator on the butt. And it came with like a birth certificate. I drew my own birth certificate. I put my own signature on her butt. And I called her Margaret Faith after my neighbor's mother of all things. Oh, I was so proud of myself with my Radish Patch kid, but it made me a healthy human. Don't give your kids everything they want just because they whine. Don't be like I was in the first 3 years of my daughter's life. Take careful heed of your ways and turn that ship around. Then you'll find that your kids will be upstanding members of society that know how to cope in a world where they don't always get their way. Can somebody say a big old amen in the house of God today? Listen, because if every day is Christmas Day, then no day is Christmas Day. Then your kids will wake up in the morning on Christmas and go, meh, meh. Oh my gosh, every Christmas at my house in Australia, it would be like my own version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'd walk in wide-eyed, oh, I knew there was a God because I never got presents every day of the week or every, you know, one day a month. It never happened. So I had such an appreciation for life and I was able to bring it into my adult years where now I'm still an appreciative human every time I get a gift. Point number four, train them to associate good behavior with good results. Psalm 112 verse 1 says this, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Look at this. The psalmist is associating obedience with joy. So it's not enough just to point out when our children are doing wrong, but we must become really good cheerleaders when they're doing good. There needs to be an equal proportion of that. So yes, we point out, you know, that's not, I'm going to have you associate bad behavior with pain, but I'm also going to have you associate good behavior with reward. So, you know, there are times in your life where your child may be struggling in a certain area as it relates to their behavior or something like that. Even if they have even the smallest little breakthrough, point it out. Fan it to flame. Encourage it. Cheer them on. Hey, if they were struggling in math because they weren't doing their homework and they go to from an F to a D plus, put that test on the fridge. Put it on there and go, I am so proud of your progress. Because sometimes, because we don't see perfection, we miss the little bits of progress that our children make and we fail to encourage them along in the journey. A lot of us will stumble over many times before we learn to stand uprightly. And aren't we great when our little kids are learning to walk? And when they fall down, we don't go, oh, you idiot. You should be walking. We're like, oh my gosh, you took two steps. I am so proud of you. So if we become really great cheerleaders, your children will start to associate good behavior with reward. No child can flourish under a culture of criticism and feeling like they are never doing good enough. No child. Don't label your kids. Don't say you're lazy. Don't say you're not good at that. Don't say you're a bad kid, you're naughty. Don't say those things. Listen, the seedbed of our children's identity is so vulnerable. And a lot of adults today have massive issues because they've carried labels from their childhood years into their future. So be really understanding of the power that you carry as a parent to sow good things into your child's identity. Have them associate good behavior with joy and reward. Can somebody say amen? And don't be afraid to apologize if you're wrong. I mean, I grew up in the era too. My parents weren't like this, where if a child got spanked for something they didn't do and it was uncovered, they'd say, well, that'll do for next time. Do any of your parents say that? Yeah, well, that's one in advance, right? It was quite a brutal generation, really, wasn't it? But there were times in my life where I was falsely accused. I was accused of taking the cookie from the cuckoo jar when I actually didn't. And, you know, got spanked and sent to my room. And I mean, it was rare. Usually I was very, very guilty of everything I was accused of. But in the rare moments where there was actually an injustice, I remember being in my room and I got spanked for something I didn't do. And I was in there like raging, plotting. I swear, I'm never going to forgive my dad. Even when I'm old, even when I'm married, I'm like making all these vows in my head about how I was never going to forgive my dad because he spanked me when it wasn't my fault. And in walks my dad. And he said, I talked to your sisters. They told me it wasn't you. I want to apologize. Come here and give me a hug. I'm so sorry. And my rage melted away immediately. It was so much easier to forgive. Never think that it's an act of weakness to apologize to your children when you're wrong. You know, there are times that where we will have to eat a little bit of humble pie in our parenting. Maybe when we do lose our cools, and those moments happen in parenting. Don't be afraid to go into their room, jump on the bed with them, put your arms around them and say, I'm sorry. Oh, it'll do so much good for the relationship with your child, and it'll teach them how to be good parents too. Somebody say amen. Amen. Point number 5, you ready? You're still breathing? Good, all right. Train your children to honor. Listen, one of the greatest cultures that Pastor Jürgen and I love about America is the beautiful spirit of honor in this nation. Remember the first time we went to SeaWorld and we watched the Shamu show? Those magnificent animals, right? I could do it. I could do it as a job. We went so many times. And during the Shamu show, they got all the military to stand. And I'm telling you, it was powerful. And Jürgen and I just looked around and we just started crying. Like, what a culture of honor. We'd never seen anything like it. But you know, that culture of honor in this nation is under attack. And listen, if we don't teach our kids to honor, it'll be gone in a generation. It is so important. Listen, if you're on a form of public transport and an older person walks in, a pregnant woman, a woman, someone older, get your kids to vacate their seats and offer that seat to an adult. Teach your young man to hold open the door for a woman. If you're at the airport and you see a single woman there struggling with her enormous bag full of shoes, don't sit there and judge and point your finger. Teach your kids, go help that woman with her bag. Go help carry that woman's groceries. Go help her, get across the street if she's elderly. I'm telling you, it's only going to stay a culture in the US if we maintain it. If we teach our children to carry it into the next generation, what once was an honorable nation will not be if we cease to train our children right. Call people by their correct titles. And it's not because the person needs it. It's because you need it. Your child needs it. I was just recently in Hawaii and all the little kids called me auntie. I loved it. I'd never had such awesome little nieces and nephews. And I said, oh, this is such a beautiful culture. And my driver said to me, she said, yes, all the kids will refer to an elder as auntie as a sign of respect. And we see it in the South too. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It's actually a really beautiful thing to call someone by their title and to treat people with the respect that they deserve. Also, honor in the Bible is associated with long life. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, as is the first commandment with a promise, and the reward will be long life. How many parents would like their children to live long and happy lives? Exactly. Then we've got to teach them to honor. About a year or so ago, I was in Starbucks and I was watching a little interchange between a family, a mother, a father, and a son. And the mother was sitting down and she was looking at a phone, and the father was standing, drinking his coffee, and the little boy was standing there punching his mother in the arm like this, and growling, "Mummy, give me your phone. Give me your phone. Give me your phone." It's like a little demon child. And then the mum's going, "No, honey, mommy's using it. No, honey." And then the dad is like, hey, buddy, mom's using her phone, but when she's done, she'll give you a turn. I'm like, you need to be spanked. Your wife needs to be spanked. Your kid sure as heck needs to be spanked. It is not okay for you to talk to your mother like that and punch her in the arm. I mean, the fact, nobody, she'll give it to you when she's done. No, she won't give it to her when she's done. But I will personally take your child into the restroom and spank him hard on the bottom and then return him to you as a public service. I mean, I have never wanted to spank other people's children more than I have wanted to spank. I mean, the whole family just needed. Lord, have mercy on us all. Oh, and then nobody says anything. It's crazy. I feel like Mugatu. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. It's like, how is this okay? Your three-year-old, maybe four-year-old son is hitting your wife on the arm, growling at her, stamping his feet and demanding that she relinquish her phone, and you're calling him buddy and saying when she's done, she'll give you a turn. Oh, no, no, no. Praise God for C3 San Diego, because I tell you what, I'm not staying silent about that stuff, just so you know. I'm going to bring it up like an egg timer. Now listen, train your children to honor. I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, I was 14. I had a promising career at McDonald's drive-thru, all right? I got a job at 14, okay, because I needed money for Cabbage Patch Kids, clearly. And I was working, and I was on my shift, and my shift manager said something really mean to me and insulting. And I'm like, I am a woman, hear me roar. I was raised by a strong mother. I have four sisters. I'm like, I don't have to put up with that. And I didn't tell anybody. I just got my bag and I walked home in the middle of the shift. Left drive-through in chaos. Three or four people missed out on their cheeseburgers. I'm walking home. And then I walked through the door to see my mum at the kitchen table. And she said to me, Leanne, what are you doing home? I thought you're at work. And I said, well, you'll never guess what the manager said to me. And he said this and he said this. And then I just thought, I don't have to put up with that. And I walked home. And she goes, Leanne, what are you doing? That's your boss. You may not respect the person, but you have to respect the position. And then she put me back in the car, drove me back to McDonald's and made me apologize. Thank God I didn't lose my job. And she said, listen, you can't control how people treat you, but you can control your response. She taught me that honor actually wasn't conditional on someone's behavior. It was conditional or is up to the spirit that resided on the inside of me. People may not be honorable, but we can still honor because God commands us to honor. And there are many opportunities in your life that you will not like the authorities placed over you, but because of the position they carry, you must honor them. Don't teach your kids to rage against authority. I had friends growing up, and every time they would get into any kind of trouble, their parents would be down there beating up the teachers or the Sunday school teacher or the principal or the person at work on their behalf. Made them weak and dependent. Made them have an anarchy, rebellious spirit. We need to teach our kids to thrive in environments that are not perfect. Listen, you're never going to find the perfect boss. You're never going to find the perfect teacher or the perfect church. And if you tuck tail and run every time you're offended, you'll find that you'll be running your entire life. Can someone say amen? We got to bring back a culture of honor into our schools, into our homes. It's got to start with us as the church of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Point number six, train them to know that they can do it. Don't rescue your children, teach them. Don't rescue your children, train them. I was on a flight recently with a man by the name of Vidal Calderon, and I will never forget him. He was, you know, not a famous man, but he has become famous to me. We were sat next to each other on a flight, and we got to talking, and we were talking about kids, and he said, oh, my... My nephew is a professor at the university here in San Diego, UCSD. And he said that his nephew said to him, I know the kids that are going to make it and the kids that aren't. He said, the kids that are going to make it are the ones that don't have helicopter parents. Because those helicopter parents that are always hovering, ready to drop down the rope of safety so their little victim children can climb on up, they don't make it. He said, but the ones that make it are the ones who have not been rescued from difficult situations, but have had to learn to work it out themselves. And he said, now, it's not that we leave our children to flounder without instruction and encouragement, but we give them the tools to do it themselves and let them know, you're going to do this and I'm going to be here to help you, but I'm not going to do it for you. You can do it. And see, I was so convicted because I'm telling you, I'm like the chief of sinners in this area. And sometimes we think it's like being a good parent, rescuing our kids from things that are hard. And so my son Tommy was struggling with a book report one day. So I'm like, yeah, come on, give it to Mama. You need an A. You need an A. So I got out there and I did this perfect book report on Benin. So awesome that my work is hanging on the walls at Santa Fe Christian School in the geography department. Okay. And see, I thought I was doing him a favor. And then I'm sitting next to Vidal Calderon. He's like, you know, my dad used to always do my homework and I hated it. And I'm like, go on. Go on. He goes, because it was my homework. He said, I needed to learn what was within those pages and him rescuing me wasn't going to help me. I tell you what, I was convicted. I was sat there next to Vidal Calderon thinking, oh, we've struck up a conversation because God wants you to get saved. But God wanted to save me. God wanted me to be saved and my children to be saved. Train them to know that they can do it. I grew up, and I'm sure as you did, with a lot of kids in my world whose parents rescued them from every hardship they were in. And you know what? They've grown up to be very dependent children. And their parents are still having to rescue them today. Teach your children that they can do it, that they can get through any hardship that comes their way. With God, with encouragement, and with helpful instruction from their mum and dad, they're going to make it. You can do this. This thing isn't bigger than you. You're going to beat this. You're going to conquer this. I love what Martin Luther King says. He says, true compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It comes to see that the system that produces the beggar needs restructuring. Your child is not a beggar. Your child needs instruction. Perhaps some of us, like me, need to change the system we've created in our homes where we rescue our children from hardship instead of preparing and instructing them through it in Jesus' name. Point number 7, train your children to know that they have a heavenly Father. Train your children to know that they have a heavenly Father. One of the greatest gifts my parents gave me was an extremely acute consciousness of God. You know, I never grew up thinking, I wonder if God hears my prayers. He was my personal savior. God was so woven throughout the every bit of fabric of our family. I knew that he was a very present help in a time of trouble. I knew that he was the friend that stuck closer than a brother. I knew that his thoughts toward me were good thoughts and not evil, to give me a future and a hope. I knew that my value, my identity was found in Christ, and so I didn't compromise in my teenage years because I knew how valuable I was because I knew who my Heavenly Father was. You know, I wonder if some of us have just failed to fan the flames of a relationship with God in our children's life. Is there something that your children need to get from you that will bring them closer in their relationship with their Heavenly Father? Do you pray in front of them? Do they see you in the Word? Not out of religiosity. But you know, I used to watch my mum as a young girl, and she'd be sitting at the kitchen table with a Bible open, Joyce Meyer on the TV, and honestly, I'd walk past and think, boring, boring. But I'm happy to say that today, I am also boring. And again, it's made me a very healthy human who has a great relationship with her Heavenly Father. Greatest place you can have your kids on a Sunday is in the house of God. And that's why you're the smartest people in San Diego here today. Listen, don't trade your children's relationship with their Heavenly Father for a sporting career. Listen, I think that there is a way you can accomplish both. Church is not against sports by any means. You rock on, people. You become those superstars in the sporting arena. But don't let it pull your kids out of church. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Come on. As archaic as it may seem, it's timeless wisdom that will teach your children that there is a Heavenly Father who loves them, who has a plan and purpose for their lives, and they don't need to compromise in order to get it. Teach your kids to hear from God. Pray with them. Pray grace at mealtimes. You want your kids to become young people who are grateful and not entitled and full of thanksgiving. Then pray at mealtimes. Listen, I reckon we'd have to eat a whole lot less organic food if we just prayed more grace. Come on. Right. Oh, we have to get everything organic. And whose hands have touched this? And which kind of beast did this come from? Listen, say grace. That's what grace is for. God said, say grace because we need to, because our food's jacked up. You can eat more Twinkies and less kale if you say grace. Redeem that food before it goes through your system in Jesus' name. Oh, you're tying yourself inside out over preservatives and it's not organic. Say grace. Thank the Lord for the food. Bless the food in Jesus' name. Declare the word of the Lord. No disease or affliction will come near my dwelling. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I look and see the reward of the wicked, for you have been my help. I'm telling you today, the greatest thing you can do is introduce your children to their Heavenly Father. Oh, they may be yours, but they were His first. They were His first. And the Bible tells us that children are a blessing from the Lord. They are His greatest gift. And He's entrusted them to us. Oh, what a magnificent and trusting God He is. And trust me, as much as you love your kids, God loves them a whole lot more. Pray in your home. When your kids are down, remind them that they have a comforter, that they're never alone. Listen, I used to stand on the blocks. I was an amateur swimmer, and I'd stand on those blocks and I'd pray, God, you're always with me. Help me win this race. And I did. I still have records at Albion Park Public School in New South Wales, Australia, because I knew I had an overcomer living on the inside of me. And when I was weak, He was strong. Oh, it's not impossible, friends. And God will make up the gaps. Look, I've done many things wrong and my children are not perfect. But praise God that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. And listen, if you've screwed things up here today a little bit, please, peace to you today in Jesus' name. This is not a message of condemnation. Listen, sometimes God uses our weaknesses as parents to fortify and raise our children right. A lot of us here didn't have good parents, but we turned out right simply because what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned around for good for the saving of many lives. Many of you are functional because you were raised in dysfunction and you said, not me, Lord, not in my family, not on my watch. That's not how it's going to happen in my household. I'm telling you today, don't curse your parents. Bless your parents. Declare the goodness of God over their lives and say, thank God that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. Your kids are going to make it. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. And when all's said and done, pray. Pray for those kids. Pray for them. Bible tells us in the book of Lamentations, send forth your prayer like water. Cry out to the Lord for the lives of your children. If we can't do anything else, we can pray. And our Creator, the one who put our kids together, where do we go when something's broken? We go to the Maker. When my watch breaks, I don't take it to another watch to get it fixed. I take it to the watchmaker to get it fixed. You take your brokenness and your grief and your heartache over your children or your own parenting failures to the Lord. The Bible says that those who ask for wisdom will receive it. It will get it. When you ask the Lord for wisdom, He will give it to you, and He will give it to you liberally. How good is that? Don't need a degree for that, do you, sir? 10th grade education right here, but I'm telling you, I am smarter than most of the people I know because I've listened to the wisdom of the Lord and I've cried out for what I do not have. No limitations over your life, no limitations over your kids, no limitations over your parenting, because you have a Heavenly Father who wants to download wisdom into the way you parent and the way you live your life. In Jesus' name, we are done and I am over time. I had more stories to share. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this incredible church. Father, what a blessing they are. Father, we declare today in the name of Jesus that all our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. Father, where there has been error, Father, forgive us and help us incline our ears to you, the source of all truth, the source of all life, the source of all blessing, the source of all wisdom. Fill us afresh today. We pray the blood of Jesus on our families. We declare the destroyer must pass over. We declare that the devil cannot touch what belongs to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Somebody grab that down and say hallelujah, glory to God. It's not over. Failure isn't final. It's the courage to continue that counts. God bless you. See you tonight. Baptisms. If you want to receive Christ, come forward and see us. We'd love to pray with you. If you'd like prayer around your kids or your parenting, come see us. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Have an awesome Sunday in Jesus' name.